From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continues now. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 29th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founding fathers are absolutely brilliant and the solution to the problems we face. We don't need and we don't believe in a revolution. Go study history. They never turn out well. The United States has been an exception, thank heavens. But go study history. Revolutions just don't turn out well. It is not the answer. We don't need a violent response. What we need is a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We believe the checks and balances are the key to the exercise. A good, honest, moral people standing for their liberties together, following the Prince of Peace, is indeed the answer. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Now, we've got an incredible, unique broadcast this hour for you today. One of the big themes of Liberty Roundtable Live has been to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property, as you all know. And one of those issues relating to that is an issue that is becoming, sadly, in our society more and more and more common. As society turns away from God, it becomes more hostile. As it becomes more hostile, persecutions begin. Sometimes they persecute people for race. We reject that. Okay, we're all God's children. We all need to stand together arm in arm for freedom, for liberty, for safety, for morality, for brotherhood, sisterhood. Sometimes it's on male, female. We need to stand together and say the sexes are not at battle. Okay, we don't need a battle of the sexes. Let them be complementary instead. Okay, they want to divide us on all kinds of fault lines, the rich versus the poor. And it goes on and on and on. Sometimes it's religious battles. Again, if we follow the Prince of Peace, we won't have those either. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is a movie, and it's an incredible documentary-type movie. But it's not documentary style. It's actually incredible to watch. And it is a recap of the first Liberian Civil War back in 1989-1990s. 1989 to 1997 killed over 200,000 people. It was horrible. It's 1989 in Liberia, West Africa, and persecutions are raging. There are six missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They find themselves caught in the midst of this civil war, and they are forced to flee to a neighboring country, Sierra Leone, to a town called Freetown. Bullets fly. A civil war rages on. They don't carry guns, but these missionaries use the gospel of Jesus Christ as their safeguard. Freetown is the movie. It's an inspirational movie of faith-filled missionaries fleeing for their lives, says the Deseret News. Freetown is a powerful, true story of faith, survival, and freedom. Yeah, gun-toting forces menace the city. Rebels are looking to weed out and persecute or kill a faction of people known as the Kron. How do you buck the violence, teach Christianity, and help people get baptized, huh? How do you do that? The crew, believe it or not, filmed Freetown solely in South Africa. An incredible movie. It's a movie that is, on one hand, heartbreaking. On the other hand, is very, very inspirational. And it documents persecution that takes place around the world in a very real way. But it also documents the solutions, what people do to stand together to overcome persecutions. All right? The producer of the movie is a guy by the name of Adam Abel. Okay, freetownthemovie.com if you want to learn more about it. That's freetownthemovie.com. And Mr. Abel is also the producer of many other movies, but two of them that you may well know or that you ought to watch if you don't know. Saints and Soldiers is one of them. Incredible movie. The other one is called Forever Strong. Forever Strong is a great movie, too. All right? But one of the actors in the movie that Adam Abel produced is a guy by the name of Michael Atrum. And Michael plays Elder Menti in the movie. What's interesting about all this is Elder Menti, obviously, is a Mormon on a mission to teach the gospel of Christ. But Michael Atrum, the actor, he's an actor, he's a model, he's well-known, he's up and coming, folks. Keep an eye on him. Nevertheless, he came to Utah to accept an award, which we'll get into here in a little bit. But he plays a Mormon elder, Elder Menti, in the movie. Michael Atrum, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you very much.
Now, catch me up then. You grew up in Africa?
Yes, please. I grew up in Ghana, Africa.
In Ghana, Africa. And tell me what your native language is, because you speak multiple languages, right?
Yes, please. I speak Ghana and Chi.
Say the last one again. Is it Chi?
Chi, yes. C-W-I.
All right. You speak those two languages, and then you speak English as well, right?
Yeah.
And when and how did you learn English?
English is normally taught in schools in Ghana. So when you get to the age, when you get to the school going age, you go to school, and then basically they teach you English.
All right. So the other languages just come from life and from your family and from home life, but English came from schools.
Yes.
All right, I got it. Tell me about your early life growing up then. Was it peaceful in Ghana?
Very peaceful.
All right.
Very
so
peaceful.
So did you have much to do with this event that took place, the Civil War, or were you too young?
I was too young.
You were too young. All right. So you had to study about the war to kind of understand the film that you'd be in, right?
Yep, yeah.
Were you like when you learned about it, kind of shocked? I mean, I lived my life. I was just out of high school at that time, several years out of high school, in college, kind of an idea. I had no idea this stuff was really going on.
Yeah, yeah. You know how you hear about it, but then when you get the opportunity to meet people who have actually been through it, then it gets real. During the shooting of Freetown, some of the actors that we had actually experienced the war.
They were actually in the war?
They were actually in the war. They had experienced it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that... A lot of times after a war, it's very hard to visit those memories or deal with those reenactments or scenes. Was that tough on some of the cast?
Yeah, it made it, if I'm going to say, it helped us to understand what was happening. Then you know that it's not just a movie that you're shooting. It's something that some people actually went through. So you know you shouldn't take it lightly.
All right. Now, the movie captures that, in my mind, very well. There's some very heart-touching scenes. You're in almost all of them, actually. And the whole idea was these missionaries were in Liberia, and they were teaching the gospel of Christ. Their mission president or their leader was able to fly to safety, but the missionaries were told to stay and to be safe, and they kind of had an internal battle whether to stay and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ and or flee the country. I mean, that's kind of the crux of the story, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you're a non-Mormon, Michael. How was it to all of a sudden play the part of a Mormon? Was it hard to get into that role?
It wasn't exactly very hard because some of the actors we had on set also were Mormon. They were Latter-day Saints. So they had to take us through some of the processes and some of the things that we had to do. But I am Christian, so, and I read the Bible. So it was, I don't want to say easy, but it was quite easy to adapt to it.
Yeah, what you're saying is because you're a Christian and because Mormons are Christian, it gave you kind of the opportunity. Sure, there's some slight theological differences and some key components, but for the most part, the day-to-day viewpoints and the self-governing lifestyle and everything was not foreign to you at all.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It was an amazing opportunity to be in the midst of Latter-day Saints and experience.
Did you... Let me ask you this. Did you know much about the Mormons before this?
No.
All right. When we come back, I want to talk about that. We'll also, at the bottom of the hour, at 30 after, we'll talk to Adam Abel, the producer, as well. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Freetown, an incredible movie about persecution, about freedom, and about how to behave and self-govern. FreetownTheMovie.com in seconds.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils has an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Michael Atrum with us. We're talking about the movie Freetown. Michael is an actor and a model, born and raised in Ghana, in the United States, to receive an award for his incredible performances. Freetown actor and model. He plays Elder Minty in the movie, if you want to go see it. Freetown was an incredible film, folks. FreetownTheMovie.com to learn more. It's 1989 in Liberia, West Africa. Six missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are there. They got a battle. Are they going to stay and preach the gospel of Christ and try to baptize people? or are they going to flee for their lives? They ended up doing both to the best of their ability. Michael Atrum is not a Mormon, but he plays the part of a Mormon missionary. A lot of people wonder what it's like to be a missionary. Well, Michael found out firsthand. You didn't know much about the Mormons before you started, huh, Michael?
No, not at all.
Did you know if they were Christian?
Yeah, I know. I know they're Christian. I have seen a few of them in Accra on their bicycles, in their white long sleeves and their ties. But I had never actually spoken to any of them.
And now you spent time with a bunch of them, and you've actually had the opportunity to play the part of one of them. What do you think?
Oh, they are amazing. They are amazing. Oh, and I learned that the Mormons actually use the Bible and the Book of Mormon hand in hand.
But yes, sir.
Instead of Mormons, I thought they just use the Book of Mormon and that's it.
Right, yeah. The Mormons believe it to be two witnesses, right?
Yeah.
And they're actually historical scriptures amongst two different sets of people, one in the Jerusalem and the other one in ancient America. But yeah, two witnesses shall every word be established is the idea, right?
Yeah.
All right. What did you find strange about, one, Mormons, two, being a Mormon missionary? Anything strange?
No, nothing strange. No, it's nothing strange. I actually did admire the fact that Mormons go on mission. I found that very, very interesting.
Yeah, they go on missions and they actually save money to pay their own way to go, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, now, were you wanting to be an actor and a model and that kind of stuff before this? Or was this kind of the launch of your career?
Yeah, I was acting and modeling before I got into Freetown. And but Freetown was my first major feature film. And it's been amazing so far.
Right, now let's give people a little bit of an interesting twist. Part of the story starts out where there's fighting in the Civil War and the missionaries are kind of caught and their lives are threatened and etc. But most of the movie relates to their trek to flee for their lives. To go to Freetown, and they get a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who lives in country, who has a car to try to help them flee to safety, and a lot of the movie is the trek along that way. And one of the times there was a stop, but the checkpoint people were asleep, and one of the elders gets out of the car, finds some beer, throws it in the trunk. The other guys are thinking, hey, man, what are you grabbing the beer for? We're Mormons. But there was a purpose. Now, you were the guy that got out and grabbed the beer, right?
Yeah.
Was that kind of a weird deal? You're playing a Mormon missionary and you're getting out and grabbing the beer, right?
You know how when you're acting, you know everything. You know you're safe, right? The people who are playing the rebels, you know them. You're safe on set. But then when it got to the point where I had to go and get the beer, I actually got scared. Because everybody behind, the director, everybody was just quiet, and I had to sneak and go and get the beer. And the way the rebels were sleeping, I was actually scared that if one of them woke up, I would be in trouble. So at that point, it was real for me.
Well, and that's what makes the difference as you watch your acting in the movie. You're hurried, but you're scared, and everybody doesn't know what to do. Now, you grab the beer for a wise purpose, and if you're a Mormon, it's not because you want to drink it. It's because you knew it could be valuable. For trade or to create safe passage, right?
Yeah, exactly. We're dealing with the rebels, and then they love their beer, they love their alcohol, so it was a great idea to take it now and use it in the near future.
All right, now the movie wasn't actually filmed in Liberia, though, right? It was filmed in Ghana?
Yeah, it was filmed in Ghana, the whole thing.
And I guess that's because it's like enough or similar enough landscape?
Yeah. It's very similar, with the exception of a few things, probably the color of our taxi. But besides that, it's just the same.
All right. One of the big questions through the movie is this. Are you a Kron? And I guess a Kron, tell everybody what a Kron is, will you?
Yeah, a Kron is a tribe in Liberia. And then the president then at that moment was a Klan. So the rebels were trying to kill all the Klans that they could get in contact with.
So in America, it would be like kill all the, what, Jews or maybe all the blacks or maybe all the Christians or what? Is it religious in nature or is it just a tribe?
Yeah, it was a tribe thing.
Okay, so it's not a religious thing, really.
No, it wasn't a religious thing. They wanted to overthrow the president. So for them to get to the president, they wanted to kill everybody who was the same tribe as the president. They decided to kill all the Klans.
All right, and so they would go through these rebels with their guns, and they'd basically capture people and ask if they're a Klan, and if they say they are, they're dead. If they deny it, then I guess it's up to the rebels if they believe them or not, right?
Yeah.
And that was actually persecution of this group called the Klan. Now, people don't realize this was real, right? This really happened.
Yeah, it was real. It was real. It happened. When you hear it, you think it's just a story. Or it's just another war story that we hear about. But then if you're able to meet some people who experienced it, and they tell you what they saw and how the whole thing went down, you get to understand how real it was. It's not just a story. It was real. Klans were killed.
Now, one of the huge dilemmas in the film was one of the elders was a Klan. He had a big decision to make whether he was going to admit to be a Klan and maybe lose his own life but save the lives of his companions and those who were with him. Or deny being a Klan, which would be dishonest. It would be a lie. What do you do in that situation? And one of the elders wrestled with this. You were the companion, right?
Yeah. And the elder who wrestled with that, the Klan in the movie, he was one of the people who experienced the war.
Wow. So as he battled this discussion and as you worked on your roles and went over that scene and over that scene, you know, every one of us, even who watched the movie, would say, what would I do? Would I admit to being a Klan, or would I lie? Or what would be the answer for me? And it's kind of a soul-searching scenario. And you as a Christian, whether you're a Mormon or not, is beside the point right now. Whether you're a Christian, the real question symbolically is, would you deny Christ, right?
Yeah. Basically, that was it. It comes down to that. Would you deny Christ to save your life?
What do you say, Michael? Would you do it?
I'm on the phone, sitting in a very comfortable room right now. No, I wouldn't deny Christ. Yeah, of course. But then when it gets to a situation like that, I think it's going to be fit over fear. That's always the turning point.
And one of the questions for me is, you may not even deny Christ to save your own life, but would you deny Christ to save the lives of others? That's kind of the bigger question that he had to deal with, right?
Yeah, exactly. If you're not going to deny Christ, if you're actually going to deny Christ to save your own life, then I don't think you're actually going to deny him to save other people's lives.
All right, stay there, Michael. We got a bottom of the hour break. I've got a couple of more quick questions for you, and then we'll pass the phone to Adam Abel, the director of the movie, and we'll talk to him for a minute. But stay there. I got a couple of quick questions for you. We'll finish up. I sure appreciate your time, sir. I want to talk a little bit about your award as well. We'll do it in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite talk station.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. The Justice Department has reinstated its so-called equitable sharing program roughly 1 year after it was discontinued by former Attorney General Eric Holder. Through that program, the federal government adopts cash and property seized by local and state law enforcement agencies by way of civil asset forfeiture, a procedure in which the property itself is accused of involvement in a crime and then sued by the agency that confiscates it. Owners of the property need not be charged with an offense and can only get their property back through a lengthy and prohibitively expensive process in which they bear the burden of proving that the cash or property was not the proceeds of illegal behavior. This system has been widely criticized, for creating incentives that lead to policing for profit. Secretary of Defense Ashton Carter used a personal email account for government business until December of last year, reports the Associated Press, on the basis of documents it obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request. The 1,336 pages of emails and attached documents reviewed by the AP revealed no classified information, but contained discussion of such matters as the Secretary's daily schedule. Carter used the non-secure email account from February until December of last year, despite an institutional ban by the Pentagon on the use of personal email for official business and the legal travails experienced by former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton as the result of her own use of private email for official purposes. Thomas Shonsman is the father of the only U.S. citizen who was killed aboard Malaysia Airlines Flight 17, which was shot down over eastern Ukraine in July 2014. At the time, the Obama administration claimed to know the precise location from which the anti-aircraft missile used to destroy the plane had been fired, and blamed the atrocity on Ukrainian separatists supported by Russia. On January 5th, Mr. Shonsman, seeking answers regarding the death of his son Quinn, sent a letter to Secretary of State John Kerry asking for the State Department to supply radar and satellite data and other critical details to aid the ongoing international inquiry into the incident. In his reply, Kerry insisted that the assessment I provided to the media 3 days following the shootdown remains unchanged and is corroborated by the findings of the Dutch Safety Board. However, as investigative reporter Robert Perry observes, the Dutch Safety Board reported last October that it could only place the likely launch site within a 320-kilometer square area that included territory under both government and rebel control. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. We're talking about the incredible movie called Freetown. A movie of faith, freedom, and really, ladies and gentlemen, a rejection of persecution. A real story that happened in Liberia back in the day. When is the day? 1989 through 1997. 200,000 plus people lost their lives in the Liberian Civil War. A tragic situation. The rebels hunted everyone with the question, are you a Kron? That was a tribe that was hated and persecuted. Really, it's a parallel to Will You Deny the Christ? This movie is riveting, folks. You got to watch it, Freetown. I misspoke and said the director was Adam Abel. He was the producer. Garrett Batty was the director. My apologies for my misspeaking on that. We're talking to Michael Atrum. He's one of the actors, played Elder Minty in the movie. He's the guy, if you watch the movie, that went and got the beer. And they used the beer eventually to barter for freedom. But I was talking to Michael right before the pause, and I said, you know, would you deny the Christ? Michael says, you know what, in a peaceful room, it's easy to say, of course not. But in reality, it gets tough, especially when it's not even your own life you may be worried about. It's the life of your companions, your friends, your loved ones, the people that you've served with and cared about, and church members and people around you. The decision gets tougher. On the set, Michael, was that one of the difficult things for people to kind of work through over and over? One, to get it right, but two, the closer you get it to being right on the movie set, almost the more real it becomes, huh?
Sorry, come again?
The more you guys work on getting that right about Will You Deny the Kron and going through that, or are you a Kron question, going through that, the closer you get to getting the acting right on it and getting it perfect, almost the more real that decision becomes in your mind, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. As the shooting of the movie goes on, and then you get to really understand the thing and experience some of the things that these people experience, it gets real.
All right, it's hard for Americans to understand some of this because they've never really experienced war. Sure, we've seen it overseas, we've seen it on TV, but our day-to-day lives, our whole lives have been peaceful, Michael, and I'm sure growing up for you, since it was very peaceful in Ghana, it's kind of the same thing. It's really hard to understand those critical questions, the wartime scenario, those things, when you've never really even remotely experienced them. It's very hard to kind of understand how difficult those questions and decisions must have been. Any other thoughts as you played that part as a Mormon, a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the movie? Anything that stood out to you? Was it a spiritual experience for you?
Yeah, how the matter will happen, the Mormons, the missionaries, they still want to preach and spread the word, no matter what happens.
All right, was it a spiritual...
Even right after they've been shot at, they move and they see people, and they still want to spread the gospel. I thought that was amazing.
That is how Mormons are, sir. We do believe in sharing the good gift we've been given by the author of liberty and the Prince of Peace, and we want to share that with everybody. It's something that's sacred to us and important, and we don't mean to be offensive, but it's just like a good gift that you have. You just want everybody else to have it too, that's all.
I really admire that. That's amazing.
All right, my friend. Tell me about your award. You came to America to get an award, right?
Yes, sir. I arrived on Thursday morning, and the award show was on Friday night. And you know how when you go for an award show, you've been nominated, you try to play it cool, like, you know, I'm really grateful to be here, you know, I
yes,
might
sir.
Get it, I might not get it. And then it gets to time. And then they mentioned the nominee. And then the lady who actually presented my award, she mentioned the nominees. And then when she said the winner is, she started fumbling with the envelope. And I was like, oh, man, really? I was so anxious. And then when my name was mentioned, I was hoping to win the award. But when my name was mentioned, I was surprised.
It just makes it real, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I'm happy. I'm really, really, really happy to win the award. That was my first nomination, and that was my first award, so I'm very grateful to God.
Well, congratulations, my friend. Is this your first time to come to America?
This is my first time in the U.S. Yes, please. Oh, and I got to see snow for the first time on Friday morning.
Ooh, all right.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Snow's pretty neat stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. So cool. I got to touch it, eat it, feel it. Like
Michael's like a little kid in the snow, huh?
Yeah, just jumping around.
That's excellent. All right, my friend. Well, congratulations on your award. We're grateful to meet you and to get to know you a little bit. And our prayers are with you on your launching your career. It's kind of the next step for you. And we'll wait to see what you're in next. Anything coming up?
Yeah, I have a few things coming up in Ghana. They're going to be released this year. And then I'm hoping to work in Utah as well. I love to work in Utah.
Well, now that you've developed a relationship with Adam and some of the other people, that's very likely, right?
Yep, it is. Looking forward to it.
All right, my friend, thank you very much. Michael will hand the phone to Adam Abel. And I misspoke. He's not the director. He's the producer of the incredible movie Freetown. To me, the movie was amazing because it's really related to something after my heart, which is the freedom discussion. You know, this isn't just a movie of talking about a war without a goal. The real issue is the battle between good and evil. The real issue is the fight for freedom that these missionaries and others around them had to experience in this horrible Liberian Civil War from 1989 to 1997. 200,000 people lost their lives as the wicked rebels hunted down a tribe known as the Kron. With the question is, are you a Kron? And if you are, you're dead. Would you admit to being a Kron? In other words, symbolic of will you deny the Christ. Hi, Adam Abel.
No, it's Michael. It's still Michael.
Oh, yes.
Before I go, I just want to say thank you to Dora and Warren Workman for organizing the event, the Utah Film Awards. I want to say thank you to Adam Abel and his family and to the director. Say a huge thank you. Oh, and I want to say a big thank you to my management in Ghana, the Lion Agency. They've been so amazing and so helpful. And thank you to you, Sam.
You're welcome, my friend. Hey, hopefully Michael will be a Mormon someday, huh, Michael?
Yeah, hopefully. I'll go on a mission.
In a sense, you've already served one, sir. Thank you very much. Hey, while he gets Adam, this film is amazing, folks, and it's the kind of thing where Adam had the opportunity to go to Ghana and to really work on this movie and spend a lot of time there and everything else. Adam, are you with me?
I am, yes.
Welcome, sir.
Good morning.
Was it your first time to go to Africa?
Yeah, the first time we stepped foot in Africa was July of 2014.
Wow. Now, to go to Africa and create a movie like that, though, sounds expensive, sir.
One would think so, yes.
But you know what? You guys, amazingly enough, though, were able to cut a lot of costs and do quite well, though.
We were, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've had plenty of experience of creating entertainment on an independent budget level and continue to do that even with Freetown.
Now, how does it work for a guy like you that, what, grew up in America, you're a white guy, you study the Civil War, you go to Ghana, you deal with a completely different culture, completely different country circumstances. Was it just mind-boggling as you went?
You know, it was certainly eye-opening, you know, due to the nature of the work that I'm involved with film production, I've been fortunate enough to travel many, many places around the world and believe cultures and experiences, and this was a similar experience and certainly unique. But as I found in other places of the world, there's kind, welcoming people who help facilitate and are excited about telling stories.
Let me ask you this. Normally you go in and you got to maybe train actors or actresses to kind of understand the role they're playing. Oftentimes if somebody has a unique role or position or employment or whatever the case may be, training those actors and actresses to understand all that's tough enough. What about training somebody who's a non-Mormon or many non-members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, train them to behave and act and play the role of Mormons? Was that an interesting twist?
Well, you know, it was interesting because Ghana is a very Christian nation, and so
yes.
So they had there's very much an easily understood, certainly, you know, when it comes to the particular doctrines that are unique to the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, there was some discussions related to that. But in terms of performance, they, like any member of the church, you know, have a belief in Jesus Christ.
All right, hold on, Adam Abel. Don't want to cut you off. We've got a quick break. We'll be back in seconds. We're talking to Adam Abel, ladies and gentlemen, producer of FreetownTheMovie.com. Freetown, an incredible movie. You got to watch it.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Adam Abel is with us. He's the producer of Freetown, an incredible movie, freetownthemovie.com, to check it out and learn more. It's a very harrowing experience based on a true story. Very fascinating to watch. And really, in your mind, it'll bring up questions. What do you hold dear? What matters to you most in life? Adam Abel is the Freetown producer. Mr. Abel also produced Saints and Soldiers and Forever Strong. I love both those movies. Forever Strong is one of my favorite. Anyway, I digress. So, Adam, was it very strange, though, having the teaching these Mormons? I guess they were Christians, so it wasn't that far. But there's some unique Mormon twists that they had to learn and deal with. Was it easy for them?
You know, it was a fun experience for them. You know, they're great, humble people. I mean, they're masters of their craft in their own right. And so when it comes time to portraying individuals of whatever background they are, just these missionaries, obviously in this movie, happen to be, you know, Latter-day Saints. And they would ask questions related to doctrine, so they understood motivation. It coincidentally, each of the companionships that are portrayed in the movie also happened, not because we set out to do so, but also happened to be cast with a Latter-day Saint return missionary or preparing missionary in each of the companionships. So within each companionship, there was a Latter-day Saint actor as well as a non-Mormon actor. And those that were return missionaries led out when it came to the improvisational contacting people on the streets or speaking about things that that then the non-member would follow suit and understood because of, you know, offset discussions that they've had. It was fun to watch this kind of this companionship that were being portrayed on screen develop off screen as well in the time that they spent with one another.
They actually spent time together as companions, even though they didn't have to on their breaks, right?
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
see, that's kind of impressive, just because of the companionship and friendships that develop over this. So you had the chance to bring Michael in for this award. He didn't really know it was up, did he?
No, he Freetown has thankfully been recognized in a variety of places around the world, but this was unique in the Utah Film Awards to have him recognized here for his supporting actor role. The film itself was nominated and won for Best Picture as well as I think four other categories that were nominated for, but he was excited and felt it was important to come, and he and his team of representatives arranged for him to get over here and acquire the necessary visas to be in attendance. And we're glad that he did, because one, he won, and two, we've now been able to you know, take him to church with us here and then show him around the great state of Utah.
What does he think of Utah and America? Kind of a strange place, right?
Yeah, there's lots of opportunities and lots of options. As we've talked about making some uniquely Ghanaian food, as he writes down the recipe, my wife will ask for clarification on specific things, and he's like, well, I don't know, they're just one of those available, and she gives them four options of what she could pick up at the store. So it's been kind of fun to see all the options that are available here. The freedoms we enjoy.
Well, you had to take him out for some foods that we may have that he doesn't. I don't know if they get pizza over there or what, but you got to take him out for pizza, right?
Yeah, we did take him out for pizza, and I did eat some pizza in Ghana. They've got that. But one thing that he did not, that I never had while I was in Ghana for the 2+ months, it was almost 3 months that I was there, was I never had any Mexican food. And so yesterday he had his first taste of Mexican food and thoroughly enjoyed it and was big smiles.
All right. That's interesting for sure. You can take him down to Provo and take him to an El Salvadorian restaurant and feed him some pupusas, too.
He'd probably like those.
Okay, as you put the movie together, obviously, you were the producer. A lot of us don't understand the difference between producer and director role and some of those other things. Tell us, just quickly, your responsibilities related to the movie.
Sure. So I explained to those who are not familiar with the industry about what a producer does is essentially like, in the construction industry, a general contractor, someone who has responsibilities from beginning to end and oversees the project as a whole. In this case, Garrett Batty, who directed the Saratov approach, came to me and said he wanted to partner to make Freetown, and because of my international experience of production, saw that there was a good partnership here, and so he and I got together and arranged the necessary financing through various relationships, and then went over to Ghana, and because of relationships that I've established with production entities out of New York, we were able to put together the team there. We traveled with, you know, very few Americans there, and there was only five of us that traveled from the U.S. there, and the rest of them were hired there. And then, of course, when you get into the post-production, it's overseen those who have responsibility for editing and music and sound design, and then ultimately arranging for distribution, so that an audience the film can find an audience. So, yeah, I mean, a producer essentially sees things from beginning to end and has ultimate responsibility for the outcome of the project.
Can I say it like this? The producer is the traffic controller from beginning to end. The director is the traffic controller on the set.
Agreed.
I mean, is that a good kind of simple way to put it for mere mortals
Absolutely. Like
me, you know?
Absolutely.
All right. Were there tough times? Did people not get along? Were there issues where it was like, you know what, it needs to be this way or that way, or this doesn't work? The reason I bring this up is there's a lot of, I would say this, negative press about the movie saying, you know what, it was too religious. You should have done this. You should have put it in a broader perspective or done that. Or I disagree because I understand the nature of the film and the points that were made to me had real resonance and importance. But that's what the critics say. Your response?
You know, there are critics, and there's those that like it and those that don't. And I, as a filmmaker, I've learned in my years of experience that I respect the role that a critic plays, but I also, more importantly, respect the role that the audience does. And the audience is the one ultimately that makes the decision on what they're going to spend their hard-earned money on. And those who are inclined to see entertainment that, you know, celebrates the positive values of life and explores the human experience, and certainly in regards to Freetown, those that involve faith over fear, those are things that I know that there's an audience there for that, and they'll understand it and be inspired by it.
I usually watch whatever the critics say and then do the opposite, sir.
You know, it's been interesting. It's been interesting over the couple decade career that I've been involved with. The original Saints and Soldiers was so well received by the critics, and then you have other, you know, other things like Forever Strong that was loved by the critics in Middle America and on the East and West Coast, critics despised it. And so I think critics usually gravitate toward those things that they value in life. And so I find that the critics that respond favorably to us are usually like-minded people.
What else would you like us to know about making the movie? It must have been an incredible experience. Some things may stand out. I've asked plenty of questions, but what would you tell America? If you could say anything, I don't know if you know, this is a nationally syndicated radio show all across the country and around the world. We have listeners all over the world as well. What would you want to say about it? Your experiences or the movie as a whole either?
Well, I think the relatability of story, one of the things that inclines me as a filmmaker to is just the idea of telling a story. And I think, you know, we all watch movies for varying reasons, but at the heart of it, it is to be entertained. And so ultimately, I hope that people are entertained by the film, but secondarily, I hope they're inspired in their own individual experience in life. I think that the theme of Freetown in relation to faith over fear is one that's relatable, whether they're of a particular denomination or not. I mean, ultimately it is about faith over fear, and I think Freetown is a fine story and example based on actual events of people that lived that and came through on it. Our unique experience as filmmakers in the process of making this required faith over fear. I mean, neither one of us, Garrett and I and the other members of the team, had never stepped foot on continental Africa. And we went over there to explore the possibility of making a feature film. It's already a high-stakes endeavor, and to be able to step foot in a place we've never been before and assemble a team and deal with cultural differences, it was definitely required faith over fear, and we hope people find that. I mean, for those of your audience that haven't seen the film, you know, they can download it on iTunes and Google Play and Amazon. It's available anywhere in the world for anyone in your audience to see.
And it
you
is
know, another place,
in my opinion.
Another place you can even, you know, you're right about Amazon and several other places, but I noticed you can see it on what's called VidAngel. And the least expensive way there, and you know, it's like you say, it's available a lot of places.
What about the parallel? Are you a Kron to are you a Christian, or will you deny the Christ? Is that a fair comparison I've made?
You know, certainly it's certainly an interesting comparison. I mean, you know, the Kron, Elder Guy, had the name of Christ on his badge. And he also had his own name, which was the indicator to those that were trying to kill him. It is an interesting comparison.
I, for one, will not deny the Christ, sir.
Good. Neither will I.
All right, my friend. What's the website for people to go to?
FreetownTheMovie.com.
FreetownTheMovie.com. Adam, thank you so much for your time, sir.
You're welcome. Take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Abel, producer of Freetown, the movie. It is faith over fear. And in our lives, that's the discussion we need to have. Faith over fear to make a difference. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. LibertyRoundtable.com is our website to learn more about us. LibertyNewsRadio.com, our syndicator. LibertyNewsDaily.com for incredible news. We the people can restore America, ladies and gentlemen. This nation shall endure.